speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
This week we've been discussing with you the one body. And the one body which Paul spoke of in 1 Corinthians 12, he said, "As there is one body, and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body, though," he said, "is not one member, but it is many." And so we've been discussing the many opportunities that we have in this one body to have fellowship one with another. Also, if you'll turn in your Bible to Ephesians 2, we'll be reading verses 19 through 22 to kind of introduce our thoughts for today. "Now, therefore," Paul said, "you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." The Spirit, of course, is the one who has revealed to us the will of God. And through that revelation, we're able to be builded together for a habitation, a dwelling place of God. What a wonderful blessing it is to have God dwelling in the church. He, of course, is not the only one. Also, all the divine beings, Christ and the Holy Spirit, are there through the teachings of the Word of God. So we're fitly framed together to grow into this holy temple. We are not any longer strangers and foreigners, not those who are not part of the citizenry, but we're fellow citizens now, whatever be our background, with the saints and of the household of God. Well, here we find a new term. We've learned the body and the church are the same. We've learned that the vine is the same as the church or the body, or to be in Christ. But here we find we are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household or the family of God. So being in the family of God, of course, we are many members, but we're one family. And, of course, that constitutes the church of our Lord. Now, the church is the body of Christ. And Paul said in here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 and 13, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that body, or that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit were we all baptized into the one body." So Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He is the one that is the head of the church also. Ephesians 1:22, "He put all things," God put all things, "under Christ's feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." By his being the head, we understand that he's the director. He's the one to whom we must look for our guidance. He is the instructor for the church. And he is the one who has all authority in heaven and upon earth. And every member must listen to the same head and do as the head directs if we want to have this unity. If we want to have fellowship that is real fellowship indeed. You know, the church cost Jesus his blood, Acts 20:28. It is that which was bought with the blood of Christ. He said to the elders at Ephesus, "Take heed unto yourselves and unto the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood." So the Apostle Peter, writing about the members of the church, said also in 1 Peter 2:5, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Now, every member here is likened unto a stone in that building, isn't it? It should be used, of course, and is used, the stones are, to build a house. And Peter said, we are lively stones. That simply means we are living stones. We must be alive to the commands of God, shouldn't we? Ready to do what he tells us to do. Jesus says in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I command you?" Now, my friends, God has added us to the church if we've obeyed the gospel by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. And Paul says that the members are fitly framed together. Isn't that an interesting term? That means, of course, to knit one together. As one would knit a garment, so we are knitted together. Therefore, we must understand that a member must conform to the commands of the head, else he will not fit together with those who are obeying the commands of God, and therefore that man cannot be fellowshipped. He's out of step with the Lord's people. The church is composed of individuals grouped together in congregations throughout the world, which makes it convenient for Christians in all nations everywhere to worship the Lord according to His Word. Some at times forget that we have no headquarters upon earth, and they say, how do the churches of Christ do it? How do they continue to be as one? Well, it's very simple, my friends. We all follow the same truth. We follow the same Word. And just as every member must follow the instructions of the head, so must every congregation follow the directions of the head. The church is the called-out body of Christ, and all members of the physical body act according to the one mind, or head, of that body. Why, if one foot wanted to do something different from the other foot, wouldn't that be a terrible thing? We can imagine the chaos of the human body if every member of the body tried to act upon its own, in its own direction, and not according to the direction of the mind or the head. Everything has to be under that one mind. Just so it would be with the church. If every congregation wanted to walk according to its own reasoning and ignore the instructions of the head, well, that would be that which would bring division, wouldn't it? There is no fellowship there. But Paul reminded the elders of the church at Ephesus when he left them, grievous wolves would enter in among them, not sparing the flock, he said, and that from among their own midst would men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them, Acts 20:28, and verses following. Therefore, he instructed them to watch, to be vigilant, to be on guard against these grievous wolves who would enter in among them and would not spare the flock but scatter the sheep and carry them off after himself. There would be no fellowship there, would they? He reminded them that he had warned them day and night with tears for 3 years about such things. And we have warned that there are divisions in the church when men turn away from the gospel. And of course we do that with also our tears. Jesus Christ, while he was upon the earth, instructed his disciples to beware of wolves, he said, that come in sheep's clothing. Listen to Matthew 7:15. Beware of those who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravening wolves. In other words, they look like sheep, but they're not acting like sheep. They're acting like wolves, and they are wolves, and they will take away your life. Well, when John was on the Isle of Patmos, Christ told him to write to the church in Ephesus and say, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, but are found liars. Revelation 2 and verse 2. Thus we see that Paul's admonition came true, didn't it? And that people even came saying they were apostles. Well, we have some over in Nashville right now who say they are apostles, but they're not. They are not because they're not eyewitnesses of the Lord. No man today can be an apostle of the Lord, because in Acts 1:22, he had to be one who had seen the Lord from the baptism of John until his ascension. Nobody lives today like that. Notwithstanding the fact that they had tried those evil folks, though, at Ephesus, who claimed to be apostles and found them to be liars, they still were led to accept false teachers. For Jesus said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee, and I will remove the candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Revelation 2:4-5. In John 15:15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Isn't that a simple thought? And yet it's really true. Why do not all people keep the commandments of the Lord? They don't love the Lord. If we love the Lord, we'd want to keep His commandments. And since they left their first love at Ephesus and had digressed from keeping the commandments of the Lord, they showed to that degree they didn't love the Lord, did they? Now, even though the Ephesians had some good things, such as hating the doctrines of the Nicolaitans, verse 6 of Revelation 2, Jesus was not pleased with them and was going to remove their candlestick if they did not repent. In other words, he was not going to fellowship them if they did not return to their first love and turn away from that which was evil. You know, Jesus commanded the church at Pergamos, saying, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. Revelation 2:13. However, he did condemn them also. He said, But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Revelation 2, verses 15 and 16. Now, my friends, that teaches us that today a few things are enough to separate brethren in the churches of Christ. And when a church is separated from Christ, he's separated from all that is faithful, isn't he? And those churches are separated from all faithful churches. When one does not continue in the doctrine of Christ, then he hath not God. 2 John 2, verses 9 through 11. We would exhort all men to hear and to study and to understand and to live in harmony with the gospel. Obey the gospel to come into the one body, then remain in the one body by faithful service, and of course, remain in fellowship with all other faithful congregations who hear and believe and obey the word of God.